You have to retrain me every Sunday, so.
One you wouldn't think it was.
Just get over it.
And that was go. That's why it throws you.
Michael looks like Pat this morning. I looked up and I thought, Pat. He looks just like his daddy. I don't mean little Pat. Poor little Pat. He's probably 50 years old. I'm calling him little Pat. It'll never change. Let me get all my gear together. Barbara, we were at her place 2 or 3 summers ago. And I failed to teach this. And it now it's broadened for me as I've had plenty of time to keep my heart quiet and really listen to what the Father's saying. So we have, we'll start with the heavenly mothers. There are four mothers, four earthy mothers in the scripture, and there are four heavenly mothers. In order to understand the earthly mothers, you have to understand the heavenly mothers. And then we will go into, if we have time, we will go into the Hebrew alphabet, which tells us it has three mother letters. However, one is missing. And you and I know everything has to have a completion. In the Hebrew alphabet, we will see an air mother, a water mother, and a fire mother. But where is the earth mother? That has to come to the earth. These elements have to bear something that somebody can see. What good we would be if we just walked around spirits. So God wanted form. He wanted us to be walking around in a body that somebody could see, with a voice that someone could hear, that we might learn to express Him. Anyway, the four heavenly mothers, I'll write down. Some of you will know the words, some may not. Maybe I can still write. That word is Bethulah. And it comes from the word virgin. It's the word that's used all through the Song of Solomon for the Shulamite. So she was a very particular kind of lady. She kept separate. She had nothing to do with Solomon's harem. Remember, all those ladies made fun of her. Because here she is, a little shepherd girl with dirt on her clothes and dirt on her face, and out there keeping the sheep. And here they are with all their perfumes and beautiful garments. But she didn't feel inferior. And she just told, kind of told them off. If you've heard me teach, you know what she said to them. Hey, you guys, I am black. I got a good suntan. I've been out there in the sun. But I'm comely. My father, my husband treasures me because I'm his bride. And I keep myself separate. So this is Bethulah. We find that in the first sign of the zodiac. Now, the corrupted kind will tell you that Aries is first, but I know that's a lie. Virgo, here she is, Bethulah. Now, Wendy put her own spin on this, as you can tell. She put pants on her. The Bethula that it shows us in the ancient documents always has a long dress on. Well, we have graduated here, you know, we do wear pants. And so it's cool. I kind of liked the idea that she could bring it up to date. And we might as well get used to it. Us old folks, we're going to pass on, and this younger crew's going to take over. And they're going to express the way they feel to express, and it won't be the same as us. It'll be different expressions. So we see one mother here. This is the Bethula. Now, I believe this is the last mother. You can't see her too good. If I do it this way, maybe you can. Her name is Koma, and it means the one longed for, the desired one. You see, she's a virgin here that's pregnant with life. Of course, it does not show that, but that's the way it is in the stars. And then in the next scene, you see her holding this sun. She has a manifestation of the sun, balancing him on her lap. Now, in the Hebrew alphabet, this mother does not get shown because there's a missing letter there that I hope to get to. So we have two mothers. Bethula and Koma. Okay. This third mother, oh, by the way, this Bethula is the air mother. Jesus, remember, he came during on the cusp of Pisces and Aries. He was manifested then. And he put the divine feminine in the throne room. Cassiopeia, am I saying that right? Because I tend to pronounce everything wrong. So y'all can straighten me out if I need it. Anyway, he put the divine feminine in the throne room because he was the manifestation of the divine feminine upon the earth. He was not the masculine, but the feminine of God. God looked for someone to serve him. So he made a people that weren't a people, Israel, and they didn't serve him. They blasphemed him and would not do what he said. So he sent his son, a person, a being, and now that son lives in all of us. Actually, he's in all of mankind, but mankind's awareness is not in the same places, so some don't know that. They believe they're son of something, all right, but it's not God. I've got another word for it, but I better not say it here because I'm on tape. Anyway, so when Jesus lived, he put the divine feminine in the throne room where she belonged. And her name is, what did I say, Cassiopeia? That means the enthroned woman. I don't know how to spell it, so. Now this is in the heavens, and it's been there since way before you were thought about. Unless perhaps you were one of those that sang together with the sons of God. And I believe some of us were during creation. We have helped to create. Okay. They'll live. The last mother is Andromeda, and she's the woman that got put in chains. As soon as the religious figures realized who Christ was, they decided they were going to build religions, as we know. That's why we have so many. And that chained the divine feminine. The woman couldn't vote. She had to walk six paces. All those things in every culture that I know, the woman, just about every culture I know, the woman was lorded over, and still can be in some cases, if they allow it, because they've been given freedom now.
Well, they're doing it for sure in different cultures, like the Middle East.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that is so true. So that shows me how far behind they are. Anyway, so the religious system put her in chains. They did not want her to be seen. Woman, you shut up. Actually, I know that Paul was not up to date because he taught it. I think he saw beyond it. But he said, let your women be quiet in church. So there's something beyond the written scripture that's written upon the tables of your heart that you know means much more than that scripture and those laws that were written by angels. You did know that, didn't you? But the scripture says if the angel's word was steadfast, how much more your word, the word of Christ? So there's a higher word, a much higher word than that law. So if you're a law person, get beyond it. Because it's not the thing to go by, particularly if you take it to the wrong place, if you go too far into self-righteousness, which we all have. I mean, none of us have escaped it. But when we got there, we knew it was self-righteousness because we began to smell something, found out it was us, not the guy down the street. Well, what smells? Oh, it's my big toe. It's where I'm walking. So, anyway, this is the last heavenly mother written in the stars. She's there, and actually she's a... What is she, Morgan? She's her own universe, Andromeda.
She's a galaxy.
She's her own galaxy. She's not part of our galaxy, so to speak. And they say she's going to collide with us someday, 20 million years from now. If you care, tell me. I mean, I'm not worried. If I'm around 20 million years from now, we'll worry. Okay. So this is the four mothers. I had these laying on the table. That's why I could write better. So she's in chains. The beautiful thing about this age that we're in, Aquarius, is that woman is hid with Christ in God. You won't see a woman in Aquarius, but you see her hid inside of the man. So he's learned to give her her place. Okay, that's your heavenly mothers. And there's four of them. Okay, now we're going to do the earthy mothers. That would be, if you want it in your scripture, you go to Genesis 30, and it will talk to you about the four mothers. Genesis 29 and 30. Rachel, She too was a shepherd girl. However, I think Rachel made a mistake. She stole the family idols, which were pagans, and she sat on them and hid them. Remember when Bethel come looking and lied because she told them that she could had to be excused because it was time for her monthly. And she was lying. However, Rachel means a good traveler. It means sheep, ewe lamb. And sheep are great travelers, they tell me. They're not like the goat. You have to beat the death out of him to get him to stay in where he's supposed to stay, because he won't. But the sheep will. So they're good followers. Now we need the goat, because God called the goat a clean animal. So you can eat the goat, you can eat the sheep, and you can eat the bull, the beef, and the turtle doves. Okay, Rachel had a maid. And she had been Laban's maid. He gave her to Rachel, Bilhah. Her name means all those things we're familiar with. Fear, dread, naysaying, anything negative you can think of, that's what her name means. Rachel bore two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Bilhah bore two sons, Dan and Naphtali. And Naphtali does well with that kind of mother. But I feel like these ladies intermingled their children, surely, the way they had to live, four wives. Two were concubines, but they were still wives. Let's see, Leah. How many did she have? Somebody tell me. She had seven.
Four.
No, she had more than that. She had at least six. Yeah, she had six because the other three had two each. And Leah's name means poor-sighted. She can't see her own beauty. Weak-eyed. Her first son was Reuben, and she named him See the Sun. But she did that because she couldn't see her own beauty. And she said, now my husband will love me. Oh my God. She has the first son. But she's so jealous of Rachel because she was the chosen one. Anyway, then she had Simeon and named him the son that can hear the father, hearing ear. Now my husband will love me. After every son, she says, now my husband will love me. I thought, when is she going to get it? It sounds like us. All this stuff's happened to me, God, and you're telling me you love me. You never said that to God. Well, you're better than I am. I said it. Lord, if you're my friend, I don't need no enemies sometimes because I'm having problems here. If you're my father, how about cleaning some of this up, you know? Anyway, Leah was weak-eyed, no vision. She couldn't see down the road, yet she was allowed to have six sons. And then Zilpah, her maid. Thank God she had this lady as a maid. I researched this lady a little bit, and she was extraordinarily beautiful, they said. People just, a head turner. She had two sons. She had Asher and Gad, Aries and Sagittarius, two fire signs. She was their mother. She was very positive, and her name means to be a good fragrance. So thank God she had, Leah had her as a maid to help redeem all of that hell in her. She needed somebody positive around to laugh and teach her a better way. So you see, you have four heavenly mothers and four that bore Israel, earthy mothers. So what I want to do now is show us in the alphabet what I see. And I feel like it is revelation for, it is one of the most ancient alphabets. Actually, Morgan did a study on the Hebrew for me this weekend a little bit, and it derived from the Egyptian hieroglyphics, a lot of it. And probably a measure of some other languages, but he understood that better than I did. I finally said, son, come upstairs and talk to in English to me, because I do not understand what you mean. You got to bring it down and cut the steak up and hand feed me, and then I can eat it. But if you don't, I don't know what that is. So, anyway, so we talked about that this weekend. I think I'll erase these unless y'all need them there for to look at, so I can write other things. That's your marriage of heaven and earth there. Or it has to take place. If it doesn't take place, you can't grow. Got to understand the heavens as well as your earth that you walk around in. Okay. There are three Hebrew mother letters. Terry, you're sitting there. Can you point them out for me? The Aleph. See this thing? It looks like an N.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yes, the Aleph. Remember last week, Michael said it says alphabet, and I thought, absolutely, that's so easy to put it together. The Aleph Bet, and he said that, remember?
Right.
I thought, that's wonderful to put it together like that.
It's number one over there.
Now, yes.
The reason why it's set up that way is because that's the way that they read it from. It's the opposite of the way we read it.
Yes, they read just the opposite.
Anyway, so there's the elf, and then there's Mem.
Show him, them the Mem. It's good. See how enclosed it is? Baby's first word, mama. It has to do with mother letter because of that.
That was what was interesting about doing the study of the hieroglyphs is it's a... Egyptian is really a very simple language because, like for instance, Ba denotes some sort of livestock, either a sheep, goat, or a ram, something along that line. Meow is the word for cat.
Oh, okay.
You know, et cetera. So,
yeah.
Moo, like Mem, is a moo cow, which denotes a female.
Giving milk,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, very simple, but it was clear from everything that I studied that Hebrew comes directly from Egyptian.
Yes.
It, basically, they took the hieroglyphs and turned them into these letters, which are more... I don't know what you would call, I guess, cuneiform,
mm-hmm.
in nature,
yes.
rather than being a pictograph. And just like Egyptian, each of these is kind of an entity in and of itself.
Oh, yes. These Hebrew letters, they go on and on. It means so much that I thought, I'd love to teach on the letters, but it'd be years.
Anyway, the next one, so the first one was the air, the second one is water, the third one is Shin, which is 300. It's like...
It's right down here, too.
It's like three fire things. And then the last one is Gaia, the missing letter over here, 1,000, behind you.
Yeah, I'm going to draw that if I can, because I'll show you what I know. I'm going to spell it right now. This is the Air Mother. And the Mem. Is it M-E-M?
Yeah.
It's the Water Mother, because it's another word for womb. The womb. See how enclosed the letter is? I gotta learn to write again. This is not easy. I think I need to make my own charts ahead of time. And then the Shin Mother. It's the Fire Mother. Do y'all see where this is going? Okay, if you don't, well, stick with me. I have to read us something here, or we won't.
Well, it also turns out if you read 4 and 1, it's 8.
The numbers. I've read this before, but I'm going to share it again. I think I'm going to sit before I fall.
You want a little chair?
This is all right, honey, if I can get up there. If I fall out, y'all pick me up. Okay. The missing letter. This is the 22nd letter that completes the alphabet, or does it. A 13th century Kabbalistic text, I can't say what it is, it's called the Book of the Image, because they're saying it in Hebrew here, teaches that one letter is missing from the current alphabet. And every defect in our present world stems from the absence of this letter. And when I get through teaching this, I think you'll see why. When at some point in the future this letter is revealed, then all the defects will disappear. The missing consonant, whose sound is unimaginable, inconceivable, will then combine with all the other letters to create new words, new worlds. Finally, all will be complete. Legend tells us that a 23rd letter appeared on the original set of tablets upon the Ten Commandments, which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. When the tablets were broken because the Israelites worshipped, what did they worship? While Moses was on the mountain.
Taurus.
Yeah, but they built something.
Gold calf.
And when Moses questioned Aaron, he said, why did you do this? He said, oh, we just threw the gold in the fire and this is what came out. You believe that? I thought, what a lie. Who would believe such a thing? This is just what came out of the fire, right?
Throw his pants in the fire.
Okay.
Well, it was another reason why they got in such trouble for that was just blatant. It was religion. You know, that had already passed, but they were too retarded to understand that. You know, really? They just were going along with what their fathers had done.
Yes.
And So that's why they got whipped, because it had already changed to Aries.
I know, and so, they were going back to...
And they were going backwards.
To the BS, like we all do, you know. we go back, if we can't explain ourselves, we go back to the BS in our life. It just don't fly. When the tablets were broken because the Israelites worshipped the golden calf, all the letters flew off the tablet and ascended to heaven. The other letters eventually returned, but the 23rd letter had vanished from the world. Some Jewish mystics speculate that the form of this letter is similar to the shin, with four heads instead of three. On the right side of the, what is that, tephilim? The small black leather box worn on the head during morning prayers. You've seen them wear them.
For last
year, yes. Is embossed a regular three-headed shin, but on the left side commemorating the missing letter is embossed a mysterious four-headed shin. The Zohar describes the shin as the letter of the fathers. The three prongs on the shin on the right side represent the three fathers, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. However, the four prongs on the shin on the left side symbolize the four mothers. So, I told you earlier, I'd tell you where Coma came in. Coma's the one that actually walks the earth and produces the sun within herself, and it's evident, she shows it. So it's so important that we manifest what we're talking about. Let's see if I can draw a picture of this thing, which will probably be a joke if I don't draw, but let's see. You see it up there, the shin, don't you? And then you see the missing letter down there, so you can see what it's supposed to look like after I crucified up here.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that it is basically just the shin with an added prong to the crown, if you wish. The difference being that the furthest right prong that's been added actually is crowned with the yud, which is number 10.
Okay. So you have this, and if you've got the seven prongs, though, it would look like a crown, right?
Yeah.
Now, nobody taught me this. This come to my own pea brain. So I'm knowing it's right. That's the fullness of the mother, the divine feminine, and the fullness of our Father that we wear as a crown. And so that, to me, is the missing letters. Now, the Jews would probably tar and feather me and hang me up by my toes if I taught this in their congregation. But I'm teaching it to you. So. That's about all I have that I want to share today. If you got a question, it's a good time to ask it. I showed you the heaven mothers that must have a relationship with that earth mother. Those things within us, Leah's weak vision, somebody has to redeem that. Somebody has to be a good traveler. Somebody has to weep. There's a time for weeping. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for laughter. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for everything in life. Because there's nothing new under the sun, and we need to all experience those things. So, there you have it. And if somebody else feels to share, they can come and share.
Did you turn that
on? No.
Okay. most everybody was here last week, I think, except Terry. So I guess I'll just use this time to see if anybody had formulated any other questions about what we talked about or anything like that. Does anybody even remember what we was talking about?
Predestination and reincarnation and things like that.
Well, we were talking that, yeah, it was in relation to ancient texts that they found. And I was thinking about that while we were singing this morning. You know, we can't even begin to conceive of how much knowledge, whether for good or for ill, was seized and destroyed by the church. We know a lot of it because it's written in history, but they really went out of their way to destroy anything that didn't line up with what they believed. So a lot of what we might know, we don't know because of other people's interference. You know, the Library of Alexandria was the greatest repository worldwide of documents for a very long time, several millennia. And it accidentally, because of war, got burned to the ground.
Well, it's not just things that other people destroyed. Yesterday we were flipping the channels, and on the History Channel, there was an archaeologist that was called to visit somewhere in Europe. They had found some things that they wanted him to look at, and they thought it was Greek, and he realized it was not Greek. It was something that was 5,000 years.
Minoan.
I don't remember what the name, but it was 5,000 years older than what they thought, and they. It led him to a place in Turkey that was just a couple hundred miles from where the presumably Noah's Ark, you know, landed after the flood was over, and they did some ground radar thing, and they ended up digging up some circles, 30 circles that had been built and that had been buried. This occurred right after the last known ice age, mm-hmm. and they found some temples that were that had. You know, running hot and cold water, indoor toilets.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
And they think that there's some type of natural disaster had occurred that actually kind of destroyed, you know, some of their that humanity or whatever was going on. So I mean, there's all kinds of things that we have no idea.
Oh well, there's no doubt in my mind that civilization has been created and destroyed several times
That's
on this planet already.
Too, yeah.
You know, we're all arrogant and everything in this age because we got, you know, Facebook or whatever, and
Twitter.
And you know, Twitter, and you know, we are the most self-absorbed generation that has ever graced this planet, and that'll come back and bite us in the butt. I mean, you know, people that don't really understand how fragile our little world really is. You know, all it would take is just a nice big solar flare, all the satellites, all the cell phones, all the computers, most of the cars wouldn't run no more. We would be back in the 1850s. That's all it would take. Just one giant EMP pulse and we would be put back in, you know. But people don't think about that. And there's, you know, there's stuff that's coming out all the time. If you're willing to really look at it, that points to these truths that what we've been told by the facts that we've been told by science are not truth. You know, by standard academia and their story of history. It is simply not true. But because their own ego is attached to that, because they put their name and said, this is the way it happened and this is what went on,
they're unwilling to change. And they're unwilling to even contemplate something else. And it's all attached to their ego. So hopefully that will, I mean, all you don't have to be a rocket scientist or be even remotely intelligent to understand that, for instance, the ruins at Minu Pichu, it's simply impossible for Bronze Age people who were living in caves with limited tools to have built. You know, this is 8,000 feet elevated in the air, and the closest place to mine the stuff or to quarry the stuff was like 40 miles away down the hillside of a mountain. And these things are 50 tons. I mean, so, and you know, you could say the same thing about the pyramids and lots of other places like this place that they found. So it's just, to me, it's just simply arrogant that we believe that we are the only ones who, on this planet, who were smart enough to build this stuff, you know, the way that we have. And
yeah, and there's structures that they find all over the world that we could even build and move and fabricate now.
Right.
We have no way of knowing how they did it.
We have no idea.
They built,
we really
cut,
don't.
And fuse these things together.
They have theories, but they don't know. Yeah, well, that's what I was talking about with Minu Pichu, because it's you have to check it up or check it out on Google or something, but at some point, but the precision of the cuts, they're so precise, the only way that we could do it is with lasers. Whoa, and mainstream archaeologists are telling us that these folks did it with bronze tools. Please. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, look outside the box. Don't believe what we're fed, you know, what mainstream tries to feed us. You know, don't stop being sheeple.
Sheeple.
You invent that word?
Huh?
Did you invent that
No.
word?
No. It's been around. Sheeple.
Oh, gosh, Morgan.
You've not heard that before? No. Stop being sheeple. You know, do your own research. Do your own, you know.
Really?
Mom was
always evolving.
You know, mom was asking
me. Morgan Cannon, it couldn't have invented a word.
Yeah,
you could have. I could have, but I didn't.
Look at the word selfie. Look at the word selfie. That didn't used to exist, that word.
So being invented.
Words are being invented all the time.
That's true. but like, you know, she was looking for some answers, and really what I found out was that the idea of mother letters, especially in ancient languages, it's in all of them. Okay, it's in all of them. It's in Sumerian and Egyptian and Hebrew and well, those. I didn't check any of the other ones, but I'm sure that it would. Oh, Chinese. Is it Chinese too?
Yes.
So this thought resonates down through the ages, not just through Hebrew, but it's like I've always said, God, what I call God, has been God the whole time, for all of eternity.
Yes.
And he's been working to do
yes.
things, to set people on a path. And I personally don't necessarily believe, you know, they say Hebrew is this and that, and the Jewish nation is the chosen people, and whatever, you know, they wrote that themselves, so who's to believe it? You know, all great civilizations say that about themselves. So we just need to take what is written with a grain of salt and filter it through our own relationship with the Father.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work for you, then, you know, don't worry about it. Go on to something else. But there's like Michael said, there's certainly a lot more behind the scenes that has went on this planet than we even have bat an eyelash at. We just have really no clue.
Amen. I agree.
And this is not the end, this is the beginning. You know, if you look at some of the older folks, like the Hopi Indians, they had a very simple, they say, a very simple way of describing, they say that originally they were four races, and all the other races are offshoots of mingling between one or more of those, okay? And you have the yellow race, which is signified, represented by the air, because of their ability to overcome things, you know, mentally, through their mentality. But that's, you know, the birthplace of martial arts and Dem Mak and, you know, death touch, touch you, you die, and stuff like that. Then the black folks were represented by water, because a lot of people don't know this, but the first major sailors that they know of that really like created commerce and started going different places and bringing trade and doing all that were the Phoenicians. They're black. And in fact, supposedly, according to lore, that's where Dan got his, I guess, ability. And that's what started Dan. Dan began, and Asher, some of Asher, began trade for the Hebrew nation and started, you know, they were like merchants back then. And that's probably why Dan is so prevalent in place names all over the world, especially in Europe. So anyway, that was the black folks. Their reasoning for that was, who else to better find water in a desert than a black man? Because it's their native environment. They said that the red man themselves were connected with the earth because of their ability to cultivate and agriculture. You know, it's a big part of their life. And fire was reserved for the white man because of his overwhelming desire. And they also, this is a 2,000-year-old text, prophecy, they said that white man, and I can't remember how they worded it, but it basically came out to be because of the internal combustion engine, the creation of that, they will bring, basically bring the entire world together through commerce, and which is what's happened today.
Gary teaches that. It's a white man. It'll be through the white race.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what the Hopi Indians say. You can look it up on Google yourself and read the whole thing. But so, you know, just that right there, it's not just the Hebrews that have been blessed with any kind of grace or knowledge, foreknowledge or anything like that. It is the human race.
Yes.
You know, I think we need to start the time to push past some of our preconceived notions about a lot of different things and people, and look deeper than just what we see with our eyeballs. And I know that's something that every individual has to do in their time on their own, but until we do that, not going to make a whole lot of progress. You know, this age is really about that. It's about mankind finding common ground instead of trying to find uncommon ground, which is easy enough to do. And it is going to take a lot of grace on different people's parts, and it's going to take a lot of growth on some places' parts. You know, they're going to have to give up some of their antiquated ideas.
Can we start it is with Islam letting the women go?
Well,
let them be free.
You know, that's.
Well, that's kind of begun.
I think that's begun. I mean,
it
took two centuries. Really, to be honest, I think that the creation of America was the genesis for that.
I do too.
okay? Because that's where the women's movement really started picking up steam.
And I think now with technology, you know, with the Facebook and all the internet and all that, mm-hmm. the women of these other cultures who've been subverted for so long are seeing that, and they're starting
they're
reach out,
absolutely.
And reach out. Yeah, it's going to take a long time because the men are still deep rooted in their.
Well, it's a religious thing, yeah. You know. Yes. It's certainly not a spiritual thing.
When yeah. Connie was obviously. Teaching on the woman in chains,
Andromeda,
I had the thought that they were punishing Eve, in a sense, for her misstep.
But it wasn't her misstep.
I know. I don't want to go into that. Let me tell you my thought, and then you can comment on it. Uh-huh. That this punishment of Eve places the feminine in chains in that very picture that Connie had. Uh-huh. And it seems to me like that religion has used that as a tool to subordinate women.
Well, sure.
All yeah. down through every culture, yeah. you see that.
Almost every culture, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean,
almost.
Our culture is still kind of there a little bit.
I would include our culture. What I wouldn't include would be ones like the Cherokee, where the women were, it was matriarchal, they were in charge anyway.
Yeah, I have no idea about that.
They were.
So but, anyway, that thought came to me.
But there are very few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's entirely possible. You know, I think that's why, at least for me, it's important that I read some of this Gnostic stuff, because it gives me a different view. It makes me understand that, you know, because that was one problem I always had with Christianity. It's, okay, there's a father and there's a son and there ain't no woman. What? What was he? Was it, you know, was it like Athena? He had a headache. Somebody hit him on the head, and yeah. Athena popped out. I mean, come on. So you know, just the, you know, or was God like some kind of hermaphrodite, and he had sex with himself? I mean, there had to be a feminine,
yes.
You know, content, and the fact that you know so many, well, particularly Christian culture has tried to subvert that and cover it up, makes me know. That it needs to be told, that it needs to be understood, you know, so.
And Adam was not deceived. He was not
Adam was not deceived
by Eve.
No.
I mean, it's just...
And, you know, I mean...
Perception on that is so...
The more I read, the more I understand that, at least for me, and that may not be true for other folks, but for me, the way that Genesis is told, it's like a fairy tale told for children.
Yeah.
When you compare it to like the Sumerian version of Genesis, which is much more expansive and gives you a lot more information. And it's the same story, basically.
Well, she had to have some kind of relationship with the serpent before he just came up to her and said,
well,
says, have God said.
Really need to understand what the serpent is.
I know that, but know. I'm saying if you're going to take their story and talk about it, then that's the terms I want to talk about it in. I can't get into the higher stuff. But
right.
The Eve had this relationship, a communication relationship with this guy before the thoughts ever came, and the, you know, what challenging what has God said. So that's why they want to put her in chains, because she was silly enough to go looking somewhere else outside of that husband that she had,
mm-hmm.
that which was able to secure her and bring her to a higher place. But she went looking somewhere else. And that's our nature.
Right.
That's
the evolution of choice.
Yeah.
I believe that's what that story's about.
Yeah, I do.
Not so much about Adam or Eve.
Right.
But the evolution of our choice being made, knowing you could go left or right, and having enough knowledge to know that going left may not be so good, but if you choose to do so, it's there. I believe that was the evolution of choice, free will for men.
Well, you notice the scripture, I didn't bring it out because I didn't think about it when I was teaching, but the scripture has the divine virgin, divine feminine, and then it has a great whore that sitteth on many waters. So there's your contrast right there. The fallen Sophia Pistos that we read about.
His first wife.
That said, hey, I don't need a man. Well, we have feminist groups that are doing that right now. And there's a way to do that. There's a balance.
There's another word for that. It's called Lilith.
Oh, yes. I don't like that name. But I like Sophia better. But anyway, that's what I know. The picture is drawn for us. So we can choose many husbands or be the great whore, or we can choose to be the woman standing in the sun wearing the crown of 12 stars on our head.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all goes, all this goes, you know, it ties in with just about any mythology that you could pick out of a hat. They always have the virgin, the mother, and the crone represented. So, at least those three. But, yeah.
Well, everybody can be Medusa, because I've seen it in people that were Christians.
Oh, well, yeah.
And they look like a many-headed serpent sometimes. When we miss it, you know.
Well, and I think that we all, to some degree, I mean, I think that we all still have to struggle with that. You know, when you're indoctrinated into something, when you're so young, it's like trying to uproot an oak tree in your mind. I mean, you know, you get taught a certain way, and you really, your brain does not know how to think in another way.
Right.
So it takes some, you know, spiritual dynamite to change that. But, you know, we're all learning, and we're all changing, and through each other learning more and more, and that's what I'm looking towards. Is that my phone?
It is.
Cuss Leslie out if that's her. She knows better. Anyway, that's all I've really got. It's...
Well, we need to have prayer. We didn't have prayer.
Yeah, we didn't pray.
And I feel like
so.
Okay.
Maybe we could get up and do that.
Yeah.